Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Hey, welcome to Busting Balls. I'm Pat Caputo along with the webmaster, Evan Jenkins. We're here to talk drafts, prospects, the future. Oh, Evan, coming up soon, it's going to be our time of the year. We start talking drafts. NFL draft, baseball draft, hockey draft, NBA draft. This is when we really start to shine. This
Oh, yeah.
is when we put the little glow light on us and we look really good. And we get those draft picks right a lot, man. It's amazing how we get the draft picks right. Evan's still like amazed how I pulled Marco Casper out that one year.
I know. Well, Max Clark, too. Like, I didn't want to find that one, and then boom, there he is.
Oh, man, Max Clark. A lot of people, that'll be interesting to see, you know, how Max Clark is ultimately going to work out here, because Wyatt Langford is a top player.
Oh,
they
yeah.
passed on him, and Max Clark is, you know, starting to move up. And the Tigers, we're going to talk about the Tigers today. Their minor league system is getting a lot of kudos these days, right? And they had 5 players on the Baseball America Top 100. I thought they could have had a couple more, actually. Not that, you know, I follow this closely, but I'm not in a position where I can compare every organization to the Tigers' prospects. But I do know what Top 100 prospects are. And they have a couple more that could have fit on there. So, but Max Clark was ranked number 22, I think, and Kevin McGonigal was 23. So they got those two guys kind of linked together because they were taken in the same draft in which they passed on Wyatt Langford so that they could get a 2-for-1 deal, basically. They used the extra money, slot money. They paid a little less to Clark than they would have had to pay to Langford so they could sign McGonigal, who was going to go to Auburn and play. And McGonigal is a shortstop, second baseman. Most people projected him as a second baseman in the draft. But I tell you, Evan, I think he's a pretty good shortstop. Now, he got hurt last year, and it kind of derailed him. But, you know, reading these prospects reports, which is always funny to me, in a way, because I watch these guys really closely, and I'm always interested to see what they say about him, you know, and how accurate it may be. But they're pretty accurate on his bat-the-ball skills. I mean, that dude can flat-out hit, all right? And he's not a bad fielder. He's got good actions. You know, I've seen tons of video on him just going through infield practice, and then I've watched him in different games. He's got pretty sure hands. He's pretty good. I think he might be able to play shortstop for him. So those two guys come to mind right away. And Max Clark, I think they're underestimating him. I think they've kind of got a paralysis by analysis or analysis by paralysis about him because they've sat there and looked at him. At initial view, it doesn't look like he's going to have like a super lot of power, but I think he is going to develop power. And he's got tremendous speed. He's got a terrific throwing arm, which they didn't give him as high a grade as he should have for his throwing arm. and he's got good bat to ball skills. He drove in 88 runs, and if you watched him last year, it was very good situational hitting that got him those RBI. If he's in a spot where he has to get the runner home from second, he'll pop a ball where there's green grass in the outfield. He's not a one-swing, fits-all type of guy, like Spencer Torkelson or something. He's got some athleticism in his swing, which provides things. And people ask me, do I have a comparable for Max Clark? I'm not big on comparables. You know that, Evan. But I got to say, with Max Clark, he does remind me of an old-school player. And there are a lot of people maybe listening to this that didn't see this guy play. I don't know. I think you did. It was Lenny Dykstra. He reminds me a lot of Lenny Dykstra, except he's got better tools. He's got better tools. He's faster, and he's got a much better arm. But he's kind of that hard nose. He's going to take the extra base. He's got more flash and dash than he's just an exciting player in that vein. And he'll probably hit with more power than Lenny Dykstra. But that's who he reminds me of quite a bit. I think he's going to be a really, really good player. And I think McGonagall is too. So
now this might be a naive question about Max Clark, but do players, and not him, but more or less players in general on this Baseball America list, do they get knocked down because they don't make it to the bigs like right away? Like the older they get, maybe they get knocked down a peg or two within the Baseball America writer's eyes?
I have no idea. I did that for a lot of years and talked to those guys. I was Baseball America Tigers correspondent for, I think it was 23 years or something. Every other week I had to do that and get that big check for like $50. You know, I was like, I was on my honeymoon calling Tom Gamboa. Hey, you know, the minor league field coordinator. You know, hey, Tom, what's going on down in the instructional league? You know, I did that. And I talked to Jim Callis a lot. Jim Callis was the guy that I talked to all the time there, probably 10 years, you know, and I did the Tiger rankings. So so I have a pretty good idea how their minds work with that. And Jim, of course, does Major League Baseball Pipeline now. He's their main guy. So, and I don't know, I think I might have even worked with some of the guys that are Baseball America now. It was a long time ago. But just to give you an idea about it, I think they got a real good handle on it. The issue with it is that following baseball prospects, you know, on a grand scale like that, is very difficult. You got to understand you're dealing with all these players, thousands of them, you know, when you count in college and everything. So sometimes the trite things do fall into the category of what's going on. And what I found with it is if I talk to the Tiger people, which I did anyway, they always love their prospects. Their guys are great. This guy's this, guy's that. And they're their guys. But I had to go out and see him myself, and then I wanted to talk to other scouts from other organizations to come up with it. So it's a hard thing to do, and they do a great job, all of them, doing it. So I take it, but for me, being so localized, because I watch the Tigers guys so closely, I get that. And to your point, yes, you know, The fallacy of baseball is age.
Yeah.
All right. And it's not how long they've been out in pro baseball. An example, one of the more underrated prospects for the Tigers is Ho-Yu Lee, the second baseman. He was 21 years old and played exceptionally well in Erie last year. If he were a college kid coming out as like a fifth overall pick or something, they'd be all over him. Oh, this guy played so great, had some injury issues and all that, but his numbers would be reflected, you know, in a much higher regard than he's an international signing who's played for a couple years. It's the same with the comparison of Langford and Clark. Langford played at a big time college program, and college baseball's outstanding these days. comparing him to Max Clark, who's 18 years old coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the, I think the classic example in the Tigers organization, this guy's a potential star. I mean, maybe even a, like a superstar. It sounds ridiculous, but there, Parker Meadows is a completely unique player. He is the best defensive outfielder in baseball. He runs in the top, I don't know, 10 percentile, even maybe higher. He's exceptionally fast. He hit 101.5 mile an hour fastball out to win a game on a grand slam in a pennant race, and he hit really well. When he, 2 or 3 years ago, he was basically being dismissed because he was a high school kid and he wasn't making much progress. So if he were a college kid, it would have been a completely different view of Parker Meadows. So you always got to keep that in mind when it comes down to this. You know, there are some prospects, and I think they've done a good job. Let's say Marcello Mayer. That's somebody that you recognize his name. We talked a lot about him the year they took Jackson Jobe. Marcello Mayer is going to be a really good major league player. But, you know, when he got to double A, kind of struggled a little bit. It didn't come so easy to him and all that. That's part of the natural progress of it. And he was 20 years old or whatever. And he's playing up against, high-level players who are very talented at the double A level and who are older than him and more experienced. So sometimes you got to factor those things into the equation. And it makes it hard for them to come up with these judgments. You know, if McGonagall has a bad year next year, it doesn't mean he's done. All right? Say they put him up at double A, or Max Clark when he gets his double A shot. You know, there might be a learning curve. Parker Meadows is a classic example of it. Every level he moved up to, he struggled. And then the next year, he got better. So you got to always take that into account with this. By the way, Jackson Jobe, it's going to be interesting to see how he does. I'm expecting him to have a big rookie year. We always talk about the Tigers in their frame, but the Tigers didn't lose a single player. They didn't have a single free agent. Nobody that they didn't want to move on from did they move on from. And they added a couple guys, but the big addition, I think, to the Tigers is going to be Jackson Jobe. I don't think they've overrated him at all. I don't think he was throwing that well compared to what he's capable of when he actually made his major league debuts. And he was throwing pretty damn well. So that gives you an idea how good he is.
Yeah, he was throwing hard, and it didn't look like the moment was too big for him either when he got into – I mean,
no.
Dude, they threw his ass right into the flames.
Oh, they really did.
Game. I mean, you don't see that very often in all of baseball. And the reason that I asked you about the minor league guys is you're right because, I mean, there's roughly, what, 100 minor league guys to every single team in professional baseball. And then you got to look at, like, let's say Max Clark is going against the elite double-A pitching in all of baseball.
Right.
And then you got guys for the Rangers, and they're going against subpar pitching. You know what I mean? And so it's like, I just wonder how they equate all of that into, like, how good are they playing against players that are equal talent or other upper echelon prospects. And that's what's really interesting to me, because you're right, Pat. There's thousands of players that you've got to look at, and you've got to give equal time.
Well, for example, Pipeline and, the guys from The Athletic, Baseball America, which those, you know, they all do a great job. They really do, Evan. But they're following all the college guys and the high school guys. So I literally can get on my iPad and just sit there for 12 hours. And I know this sounds kind of weird, but I can sit there and just look at this over and over and over again. Going to Perfect Game site, all these different things. And, I'll only touch maybe a minuscule percentage of all that's out there and to make these judgments. So that's what makes it kind of interesting to me, is there's so much. That's why I love baseball so much. People say, well, I'm sitting out there, I'm looking at the game, there's nothing going on. No, dude. There's 1,000 things going on, all right? 1,000 things. And it's like that throughout the system. All the sports are like that. and we delve into it in this podcast, but baseball's got a lot more layers to it that make it fascinating, especially when it comes down to player development. And that's why I like it so much. You know, I got, when I first started covering baseball, you know, that's the thing that I kind of gravitated to, talking to the various people in the front office and you know, people, coaches and all that. It's interesting. And the year-to-year improvement and things with baseball makes it unique. And that's what makes it special. Now, to a lot of people, there's a lot of complexities to that. You know, the NFL draft is a lot simpler to follow.
Yeah.
You say, well, I plug in a guard, you do that. It's a lot simpler because you just got the players on your roster. With baseball, you got this minor league system, and they're playing every day. You've got an Arizona Fall League. There's an instructional league. There's so much there to follow, and it makes it more difficult to evaluate, I think, talent for sure.
Well, just think, Pat, what, we're only a matter of a couple weeks from pitchers and catchers reporting, and next thing you know it, we'll be in the thick of things, and hopefully we see these young kids produce for the Tigers. Do you think there's any chance that you see Clark or McGonagall at the end of the year coming their way up?
No, I don't see that. They're a year away from that. What's going to be interesting too is one of the players that they didn't put in the top 100 on the Baseball America, and I don't think on the other list I've seen, was Josue Brasino, who tore up the Arizona Fall League. He and Tyrone Lorenzo are going to be the most intriguing prospects to follow. Because, and I was a little bit surprised Baseball America, you know, gave Lorenzo a 60 on his arm strength. I didn't notice that. But to me, he's a really raw catcher. But those two guys, especially Lorenzo, are special hitters, it appears to me. I mean, Lorenzo's got a beautiful swing, man, and he powders the ball. And it's going to be interesting to see where he can play. He's not athletic to play another position. So how well he develops as a catcher is going to be important. And they've moved Brasino already as a first baseman. That's what he played in the Arizona Fall League. And he's got a great swing, too. He's just a lefty hitter. Lorenzo's a switch hitter. He just pounds the ball. So I don't know. Those two guys are going to be intriguing to see how they develop. So that's this Clark, McGonagall, Lorenzo, and Brasino this summer. Intriguing. And I want to see what they got in the Reader kid. Reiner. Do I call him Reacher or whatever? I think I saw Jack Reacher yesterday. Bryce Reiner, the shortstop, because he hasn't played professional baseball yet. He's just been, you know, down in Florida. They didn't send him out anywhere. Didn't even put him in the complex games. So, yeah, we have to see what they've got there. Those are things. And a couple pitchers. I'm interested to see how Ty Madden does this year because he's got big-time stuff, man. I mean, fastball slider. And he developed a split-finger pitch that really kind of had him coming on at the end of last year. He could be a surprising boost for the Tigers this year. Out of the University of Texas, was taken in the draft and moved up pretty quickly. He stayed on a pattern and just got lit up like a pinball machine at Toledo last year. But, you know, he did okay when they put him out there in the major leagues, and that splitter could make all the difference in the world. So, but anyway, enjoyed the conversation. Evan always digging for some info there to follow it. To me, it's fascinating.
I'm asking that question, because it is so fascinating, because yeah, it's not a one-person job that can do that. You would think, like, you would need 10 people per team to watch all those players at
once. Well, that's why analytics are so important, and all those different people in their organization. And as good a job as we do in the media, all right, the teams have got, you know, so many more resources for that. And in baseball, you need that. one of the things that the Tigers have upgraded is that. And it's very important to how they're moving forward. Don't forget, like us, the iTunes store. Don't forget to like us, Google Play Store. Don't forget to download us at Odyssey.com. Pacaputo98 on Twitter. Gent Jenkins on X, formerly known as Twitter. Until next time, we'll talk to you.